May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I've done this before, once I think over the years, and I thought we'd do this again this week, and that is just follow the Lord. What the activities recorded in Scripture he did on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, for Holy Week. And on Monday day is the day that he cleansed the temple. He actually cleansed the temple twice, one earlier in his ministry in John, but this is the second time he did. This is beginning in verse 12. Verse 15. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, and began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods to the temple. He began to teach and to say to them, Is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for all the multitude were astonished at his teaching. Now, historically, what had happened, and I like the scripture, the places where it talks about those who are selling sheep, cleanse them, but there's several places where it emphasizes they were selling doves. And what happened is at the feast, people were supposed to bring unclean animals to offer. But they had to pass through inspection. And so the religious officials never let you pass inspection. But boy, they had a deal for you. And they would keep animals that they had already declared, they were certified clean by the Sanhedrin. And so you could buy from them, because they would reject whatever you brought, no matter what it was. And so they were making money. And the worst thing, though, the poorest offering you could offer was the dove. If you didn't have enough money, if you were poor, you couldn't offer sheep, you could offer a dove, or even a pigeon. And they were even stealing money from the poor. And that was part of the Lord's heart when he was so righteously angry with what was going on. But over the years, the thing that the Lord has ministered to me the most from the scripture is this, is that he said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you made it into a den of thieves. And I think the truth for me has always been is that whenever my house, my personal walk, my house, stops being a house of prayer, the thieves always move in. You know, it says that about Jesus when he was filled with the Spirit, when he was baptized with the Spirit. In one of the Gospels it says, as while he was praying, the heavens were opened up. That's really a powerful thought, is that we do live under an open heaven because we're in Christ. That open heaven becomes very vivid in prayer. Now, when I talk to you about praying, I'm not trying to put you under some guilt trip. Trust me, God would rather you pray 2 minutes a day with passion and do it consistently than he would an hour and a half out of guilt and condemnation when you fall asleep half the time. Song of Solomon says, just a single glance from your eyes ravishes his heart. It says in the Song of Solomon that your presence is lovely to him and that your voice is sweet. So he would much rather you bring him something, an offering that comes from your heart, even though you don't know how to steward more than 5 minutes. And I tell people, I'd much rather you do something that's sustainable. If you'll just do something that's sustainable out of sincerity, if he wants it to grow, it'll grow. But you can't get better than ravishing his heart. It only takes a single glance from your eyes. You see, because what happens is, is that 2,000 years ago, and we all pray for this. I'm praying for this for me. I'm praying for this for our church all the time, that we would have breakthrough. But what does that mean? Are we asking God to do something in our lives? Or are we asking God to do something with our lives? Are we really asking Him to break through? Or is it about us breaking through to Him? Because here's the deal. Jesus showed up as revival in fullness 2,000 years ago. You and I are complete in Christ. And so breakthrough is about Him helping us break through to Him and entering into a greater experience of Him. Because it's all about Him. When we were worshiping last night in our harp and bowl thing for the Acts deal, that's the Lord just spoke to me. He said, Chuck, I'm your breakthrough. You're always breaking through into a greater experience or greater revelation of me, but it's not that you get anything more, you just get into something more. And what I've discovered is that prayer doesn't manipulate God to do something more in your life. In prayer, God manipulates you to change you so you can receive more of what He's already accomplished. In the scripture, it says that the Pharisees were afraid of Him. This whole story is a true story, but it also represents spiritual reality. Like I said, is that when your house is not a house of prayer, when your life isn't a life of prayer, even if it's just little things, then it will become a den of thieves. The demonic will take up root. Things like bitterness and resentment, unforgiveness, and all those things will take up root in your life. But it's in prayer that deep calls unto deep. It's there that God exposes the things in our lives. It's there that He manipulates us. It's there He changes us. It's there He draws us in to breakthrough. And the Pharisees were afraid. Satan fears a person in communion with God. What Satan wants to do is for you and I to spend our time chasing our tail, mentally and emotionally, trying to figure stuff out. But what he fears is us being in the presence of the Lord in prayer, because he knows God's already figured it out, and it's there he can download into us. He fears that. In one of the Gospels, I think it's the Matthew, in the context of cleansing the temple, it said, and all the lame and blind were brought to him and healed them all. I don't think that's a coincidence. You're never going to get more anointed to pray for the sick. But we will break through into believing more in the anointing that's in Christ to pray for the sick. But in the context of Jesus contending for a house of prayer, we see the manifestation of healing all those who are lame and blind. I've said this before, and I'm all for having encounters with God and services where things happen to you. But those are things that just ignite something. You have some event in the Lord, and you have some charismatic experience, that'll ignite something, but that ignition will fade away. If it's not nurtured in His presence. And you'll forever be chasing that tail, having to get a new experience, a new experience, a new experience, a new experience. And there are always new experiences, but if you'll steward the one you have, the next one you have can mean a greater breakthrough. But you don't want to keep having the same breakthrough over and over. So our Monday thing is that as we end this Lenten journey, this Holy Spirit, help me to be at whatever level I'm at, because that's not an issue, how long you pray, that I would establish my life as a house of prayer. Because the enemy fears that. That's why he makes it so hard. Have you ever figured out why prayer is so hard? Why it seems so boring? It's so difficult to find the time? And I would just encourage you, make the time. You'll never find the time. The enemy will never let you find it. And the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.